The question was asked, how did Chazal know how to categorize the blessings on food, the division of different blessings for different types of food, and how did Chazal define the wording, how did Chazal set up the wording of the blessings? Maybe we should answer the second question first, and from there lead into the first question. There is a form that the Torah gives us as to how a blessing should be made. There is a concept in the Torah, "Va'achalta v'savata uvirachta," you'll eat, you'll be satiated, you'll bless. So the Torah introduces us to the concept of making a blessing. In Moshe Rabbeinu's time, Moshe Rabbeinu already instituted many blessings for the people of Israel. And so we have this institution from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that we make blessings on mitzvot, and we make blessings on food, and we make blessings in prayer.
So the Gaon is Zahar, is Rabbanan from Moshe Rabbeinu?
Correct.
Wow.
So although the blessings are rabbinic, but they were instituted already in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. So ask me, how do you know? We have a Gemara that says, and this is quoted in Halacha, that every Jew has to make 100 blessings every day. And the Gemara derives it from a Pasuk. The Gemara says it was an institution of David HaMelech. The Gemara says, really? I thought it was from Moshe Rabbeinu's time. How so? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Va'atai Yisrael ma Shem Elokecha shoen mi'imach. Now Israel, what is Hashem asking of you? Ki im asot mishpat. Ma Hashem Elokecha shoen mi'imach. Chazal say, Me'a Hashem Elokecha shoen mi'imach. What's Hashem asking of you? Me'a, Hashem's asking you 100 blessings a day. So it was instituted in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. It was forgotten. And then in King David's time, he saw that every day, exactly 100 people were dying. 100 people a day. So he looked into it, and he came to the conclusion that it was because they had forgotten this institution of Moshe Rabbeinu's time. So you see, they were making 100 blessings a day. What blessings were they making? So, you see, they had blessings back then, and some of the Rishonim even say that Shmona Esrei, that was an institution from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The form of the blessings, when it was institutionalized, that we would have one form for all people, so that came to be in the days of the men of the Great Assembly. When we re-entered the land of Israel in the period of the Second Temple, so the men of the Great Assembly, among whom we had some prophets, they institutionalized prayer and blessings. They said, this is the form of prayer and blessing. This is how you do it. We really need a separate class about the blessings and the capacity to change blessings or to develop blessings, because this is an oversimplification when we say they set up a form and that's the way it is and no changing it. The general rule is that they set up a form and that's the way it is and no changing it. But then there's room to talk. Meaning, yeah. Like every generalization, that's an oversimplification. So they set up the form, and in order to do something like that, to make an institution for all of the people of Israel, you understand they had to be not only giants and brilliant in Torah, they also had to have some prophecy. And that's why there were prophets among them. That's a tradition that we have. That some of them, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, you had prophets among the men of the Great Assembly, and they set up this form. So that's an answer to question number two, meaning where do we have the words of the blessings from? So the origin of the idea of making blessings begins in the Torah, evolves to Moshe Rabbeinu, reestablished by David HaMelech, and the form, the way we have it today, is the men of the Great Assembly with the prophets. Should we expand on this more or move forward? Because there's room to expand a little bit more.
Before eating, how did they pick categories?
So that's the next question. So Well, okay. So for now, we'll leave it at that. Chazal were very careful in the way they set up the blessings. Chazal wanted us to be truthful, to say what we could really feel, and that's why Chazal took great care, even in the prayer, to say things that we could really connect with. And we see this, for example, the temple was destroyed, so they diminished in the terms of praise for God. They would say their Shmona Esrei, and they wouldn't say Akel HaGadol HaGibol VeAnocha, because they say, how could you say HaGibol VeAnocha? Who sees God's might? Who sees God is awesome? His chosen people are destroyed. His temple is destroyed. How could you say Gibor Nora? So I'd ask you, did the rabbis and the prophets of the time, did they really think God was less awesome, less mighty? No, they realized God was just as awesome and mighty as in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu when he said, Akela Gadola Gibova Nora. But the prophet Jeremiah and Daniel, they both said, I can't just say words. God doesn't want lip service. He wants me to say things that resonate with me on a truthful level, that I can really express. And the people in these times cannot say, Agedol Agibor Va'anora. Along come the men of the great assembly, and they say, yeah, no, 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 no. They make a shift in Jewish thinking. The greatness of God is not reflected by Israel being firm in their land and having a temple. That is not the greatness and the awesomeness of God. The shift is, see God as awesome, see God as great in the fact that you exist in the diaspora, that no one's annihilating you. The fact that you are a continuous force in the world. There you see God's might. So you ask yourself, that's what you, the men of the great assembly, have to institute? We're building the new temple. Everything's great. We're here in the land of Israel. They shifted our thinking. They said, you keep saying, Akel HaGadol HaGibor VeAnorah, irrespective of where the temple is, standing or destroyed, whether the people are here or in diaspora, shift in thinking. And for that, they were called the men of the great assembly. Why was their assembly called great? If you'd ask me, I'd say they institutionalized half of Judaism. They made muktzeh, they set up Shabbos the way it should be, they reinstituted marriages the way they should be. Come on, they saved Judaism. That's why I'd say they're the men of the great assembly. No, the Talmud says not. They're great because they reinstitutionalized the Kela Gadola Gibova Noah, which if you think about deeply, you realize how pivotal that is to Jewish thought.
That was 2,000 years
ago. That was in the beginning of a golden era of Judaism. A half a millennium of a golden era of Judaism. The beginning of the Second Temple.
So basically...
Slowly.
Right.
Now, Chazal said to us that our words of thanks and our words of praise have to be reflective of what's happening.
That's in Shmona Esrei.
Correct.
And
Moshe Rabbeinu said that.
Okay.
So and they brought it back.
So let's say it was being said in King David's time. Was it? When and where?
Good question. I would answer you in their Shmona Esrei, because I'm going with the Gaonic opinion that says that Shmona Esrei was around from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu.
I thought it was from Ezra.
But
Ezra reinstituted it.
Yeah. But
so it's not from Ezra, it's renewed by Ezra.
Yeah, that makes it easier to swallow.
I
don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I have to look it up again. You're right. Maybe they weren't. You're right.
Instituted before the time of the Second Temple. I mean, we're not praying.
Three times a day.
Simple people, like we do. Did this prayer exist before the second temple?
It's a good question. We'll finish with this. We'll try to go over to that. So the men of the Great Assembly, when they instituted blessings, they said a blessing should be reflective of what's before us. It can be reflective of our capacity to praise at this time in Jewish history, or it should be reflective of the food I'm going to give thanks for. And so Chazal said, we want that the blessing should be in accordance with the species. Now in their days, they divided species, genus, species. They divided things different than we do. So they said, okay, you have the things that grow straight from the ground. We'll call them yirakot. Then you have the things that grow from the trees. We'll call them priyaetz. Then you have things that give smell. So you'll say, boratzeb samim, boratzeb samim. What else do we have? You have a blessing over good news. So if it's only for you, you say Shechayanu. If it's for other people, you say Tov Meitiv. So Chazal divided things into species. Growing from the ground, Adama. Growing from a tree, Ha'etz. Everything else, Shakol Ni Abidvoro. You have a Gafen, right? You have a Gafen and a Motzi, because you have two things that are exceptional. You have two things that are a step above the rest. That's true.
I can't see why they ignored that. And then, and then meat is also used for korban. So
on the korban you have a blessing, right. And on eating the korban you have a blessing.
Right. Okay.
And on eating truma you have a blessing, but. But basically, these go into the category of everything else. Beyond that, I want to leave you with food for thought. What do the words mean, Shakol Niya Bidvaro? And okay, there's more to discuss about the idea of eating something else that was once alive and making that blessing over it, but that's not for tonight. First think about it, then we'll get back to it. Think.